After the death of King Solomon, the country was divided into two parts. The northern part became to be known as Israel, and the southern part became to be known as Judea. And that valley that you saw was the border between the land of Judea, that is, we supposed to be standing at the end of the land of Judea, from Hebron. And that area, Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, all the way up here, that was Judea. Now, when we go down through that valley, and then we will be coming to the mountain of Israel, then the northern part became to be known at the time of King Omri as Samaria, and he built the capital of the northern kingdom. Today it's known as Samaria or Sabbatia. So, the northern kingdom, Samaria, and the southern kingdom is Judea. And that was the border of the kingdom. That was after the death of King Solomon. The girls of Shiloh used to come and dance for the children of the Benjaminites on the plain of the mother. Now, Ribona, what we call today Lubin. This is, Lubin. Ribona and Lubin comes from yogurt. I mean, the original meaning of that is yogurt, when we say Ribona or Lubin. So, if you want to go after the bus, picture please don't. Then, those who are interested to get the olive oil salt, you'll find it in here. Few olive oil salt if you want to wash your hair, because the olive oil salt is good for skin and good for the skull, the skin of skull, teeth.
Oh, yes.
I wash, it's too late for you now. I wash my hair with pure olive oil salt. Hold it.
You go on now. It's too
city. You see, I'm referring to the very old cities of this part of the world, like Shiloh and Shechem and Megiddo. When I say the early Canaanite city, that means it dates back to 2400 BC. Is it clear? So it was a town when Abraham came here. Abraham came from Orcheldon, from Mesopotamia. And now Orcheldon is in the country known today as Iraq, I-R-A-Q. And there were two great civilizations at that time in the Middle East. Mesopotamia and Egypt were the Nile River. Mesopotamia were the two rivers. In between the two rivers, it was known as the Mesopotamia and Egypt, were the Nile River. So it was cultivated countries. And the land of the Bible was playing a game. It was the Via Maris road between the two great civilizations. So Abraham came from Orcheldon one of the cities of Mesopotamia, all the way to Haran, and from Haran he came all the way down to Shechem. So he came here, and he stayed for a while here, and afterwards he went all the way to Hebron, to Kiryat Arba, and you know the story that he died and buried in the cave of Machpelah. Jacob lived in Shechem, lived most of his life in Shechem, and he dug his great famous well, known today as Jacob's Well. So he dug the great well. I mean, the age of the well is 3,700 years. 3,700 years old and still new. So why Jacob dug the well here? Because he was like the Bedouin. He used to make his living from raising animals. Cattle, you know, and sheep and goats. So he was in need of water in summertime, so he dug the well to catch the rainwater in winter and to preserve the water for summer so his sheep and cattle can find water to live. And we know that Jacob left this place and he went with his second wife Rachel, who died on the way. And afterward, Jacob went to Egypt. When he had his son Joseph alive, and he's a big man in Egypt, so he went all the way to Egypt. He stayed there with his Joseph for 17 years. He died in Egypt. Joseph said that my father must be buried with his father and grandfather, with Isaac and Abraham, in the cave of Machpelah. So his body was brought all the way from Egypt to be buried in the cave of Machpelah. It came to pass that this country of the world is being invaded by the Assyrians at the time of Sennacherib. And it was the first exile. They came to Samaria and they destroyed 46 cities and they took the Jews from here all the way to Samaria, Assyria, to Nineveh and that area. They stayed there in the captivity, and then when they were allowed to return back, the Samaritan or the people of Israel, they refused to consider the Temple of Jerusalem as the place where Abraham wanted to sacrifice his son. The Samaritan claimed that no, Abraham came first here. Before he went to Hebron, he came to this place and he lived, a while here. And on the top of Mount Gerizim, he was trying to sacrifice his son Isaac. So they started worshipping on the top of that mountain and they built a temple on the top of that mountain. Their temple was destroyed by the Maccabees in 165 B.C. when the Maccabees revolted against the Christians. So, when the Samaritan refused to consider Jerusalem and the Temple of Solomon as the place of Abraham as house of worship, that was the beginning of war between the Samaritan and the Jews, and they disliked each other, they hated each other. I mean, if we want to take the story of the Good Samaritan in under consideration, we realize how much they hated each other. The Good Samaritan, you know, came and saved the Judean, and his own people didn't look after him, and Jesus mentioned that story, and he made from that story a comparison. So, later on, the kingdom was split into two parts, and they were fighting each other. Now we come to the story of the gospel of this place. Jesus came to this valley here when his disciples went to town to get some water. He was nearby the well. The Samaritan woman came to the well. She was trying to get some water out of the well. Jesus asked that woman for a drink. Do you know what she said to him? She said to him, "You are a man of Judea and I am a woman of Samaria. How do you drink from a Samaritan woman?" Now let's stop here and discuss this few words. How you drink from a Samaritan woman? If we take this sentence into consideration, we realize how much they hated each other. How does she know that Jesus from Judea, that woman? Do you know how? They used to wear different dress. The Judean wear different dress and the Samaritan different dress. So you can tell who is there, whether he is Judean or Samaritan from his dress. So she said to me, "I'm a man of Judea and I'm a woman of Samaria. How do you drink from a Samaritan woman?" But Jesus answered and said to her, "Talk to her about the living water of God. The water which you give makes everyone thirsty. The water which I give makes no one thirsty." Then she said to him, He said to him, you, the Jews, you worship angels, and our fathers worship on this mountain. He said, believe me, that the day is coming that you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. This is what Jesus said. So whether, I mean, you worship the Father on Gerizim, you worship the Father in the temple of Jerusalem, I mean, the day is coming that you are going to worship Him. You are not going to worship this place, or this site, or the mount, or the land. Then He told him, that are you the Messiah? They told us that the Messiah is coming and He's going to show us all things. You know, Jesus answered and said to you, I who speak to you, I'm He. Now here, let's talk to you. I who speak to you, I'm He. Do you know that this is the only place that Jesus said about Himself that He is the Messiah? Never, if you read the Gospel, this is the only place He said that He is the Messiah. He never said that the Messiah. It's only to the Samaritan woman when He said to her, I who speak to you, I'm He. And it was like here. Mount Gerizim is there. That is the sacred mountain of the Samaritan and Mount Ebal. Now what is Gerizim? You know, when Joshua came here, he went up to Mount Gerizim, and there, you know, he went with the children of Israel, and he read all what Moses said of blessing on Mount Gerizim. Then he went to Ebal, and there he read all what Moses said of cursing, the curses of Moses, read to the children of Israel by Joshua at the top of Ebal, and the blessing read to the children of Israel by Joshua on Mount Gerizim. Now the Samaritans, they are still worshipping their God on Mount Gerizim. Up to now, do you know how many Samaritans left in the world? If I tell you, you'll be surprised. 480.
That's all that's left. Huh?
480 Samaritans left today, and they are living in the neighbor town Nablus. And every year, you know, they celebrate the Passover. They go up to the mountain, they camp on the mountain. By the end of the fasting, you know, by the end of the 40 days, they offer the sacrifices. You can say that the only people who offer sacrifices today are the Muslims in Mecca and the Samaritans on Mount Gerizim. So up till now, I mean, the Samaritans, the 480 Samaritans left here, they still worship on the top of the mountain, and they still offer sacrifices in the Passover on the top of the mountain. Now remember, this place was converted into a Christian church by the Byzantine, the first Christian who came to this part of the world. Of course, I mean, they built a great church, but the Samaritans destroyed that church during their revolution against the Christians. Now, Greek Orthodox built a church 150 years ago, and it is not yet complete. We are going down now. Are you happy?
Yeah.
We are going down to the well, and you can drink from the well, I mean, of Jacob. And the water is safe to drink, remember.
It's good water, too, folks. Okay. Good water.
All your voice, I see my dad preaches this subject. When he was saved, he's one of the greatest churches in America. And yet when he came here, you should have seen him on how he was back.
Yes.
One parking, if you want to go to the washroom, there's a restaurant there. But if you want to go to the washroom, the ladies' room, the men's room, it's in the restaurant where the bus is parked. Salam is on and on for the end of the family.
اوكي دور هي هيك لانه فتحنا من
Now you can see the remains of the pillars, of the columns.
Over here.
I want to show you now, in that corner there, the wall of Samaria at the time of King Ahab. You see, just, I mean, in that corner, just you go out of the hospital and follow me and take a look at the world. This is Roman. You see, when I say Roman at the time of Herod the Great. But if you want to see the wall of Samaria at the time of King Ahab, follow me.
Now, that is the wall of Samaria at the time of Jezebel and King Ahab, and that's the 9th century BC, almost 850 BC, when King Ahab rebuilt the city of Samaria. There you can see the wall. So on top, what you see on top is the palace of Herod the Great. This is supposed to be the place where Salome danced and asked for the head of John the Baptist.
This is, I mean, Roman, but the stones are Israelite. That means the Romans have used the same stones when they built the wall of Samaria. Look at the mountains of Samaria from here. Look at the armor. At the top of the mountain. That is called Aji, K-A-J-A-N. And there is another village on the right side here called Anzi, K-A-N. It is the story of the man who was having two wives. One of the two ones called Aji, he is the pillar, and the house of his wife Aji on the top of that mountain. And another house called the second one, Aji on the other mountain. And he used to go back and forth. So you can put the two ones in one house and fight, and he took me 2 miles between the two ones. So he used to go back and forth, and we got to the two villages, the children of Aji and the children of Aji. Where he was sold to the Ismaili caravan and taken away all the way to Egypt, Joseph. And it is 2 days' journey from Shechem to Dothan. So they came 2 days here and they went back to Moses and they went back to Jacob and they told him that Joseph was attacked by the wild animals and eaten by the wild animals. So there is Dothan where Joseph was sold to the Ismaili caravan. And what we learn from the Bible. You know, the Bible told us that Jacob sent his sons to Egypt. It can suppose that he sent his sons to Egypt to buy the wheat. And they have been advised to go and meet someone called Joseph, who was the governor.
And here in the top of the world, we make a drink, you know, from the town, from the local. You know, you put the water in
Jesus healed the 10 men from leprosy. You know, they were outside the city. And they came to Jesus and they requested Jesus to help them, to heal them. He said, go to the bishop town of the town and tell him that you have been cured. So they left Jesus and they went to Angani to redeem. One of them came back to Jesus and friends, you know, that he was liberated. So this is Angani or Jini, where Jesus healed the 10 men from leprosy. I want you to look at that mountain there. You see that mountain? Some of that mountain covered with trees and the rest left there. Did you see that? Here, here. It's you can see that there are some roads in the mountain. Did you see that? Now that is Mount Gilboa. G-I-L-B-O-A. Gilboa. You know, that is where the final battle took place between King Saul and the Philistine. You know, Saul was tired of fighting the Philistine. 20 years fighting the Philistine. And he was very tired of that. So the final battle took place between him and the Philistine on this mountain. Saul lost his three sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. They were killed. Saul was wounded with the arch of, you know, and he came to his armor bearer. And he was breathing, you know. He requested the armor bearer to thrust him with a sword. The armor bearer refused to do it. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell upon it and upon him. The Philistines the next day went up to the top of the mountain and they found that Saul is dead. His three sons are dead. They cut off the head of Saul. They took his head to the town called Ashkelon. And they took the four bodies of Saul and his three sons to a town in the Jordan very called Bethshan. The four bodies of Saul and his three sons on the wall of the city of Bethshan. Now, the inhabitants of a town called Jabesh and Gilead Mountains, I mean, where Trans Jordan, where he came from, those people, they felt sorry for the death of King Saul, and they came from Jabesh, across the Jordan River, all the way to Bethshan. They picked up the four bodies of Saul and his three sons, and they took them into their town, and they buried them under a tree. And they fasted 7 days. Why? Because Saul once helped them when they were fighting the Ammonites. Now David was running away from Saul. You know the story. He was running away from Saul because Saul intended to kill David. David, when he heard that Saul, the first king, was killed, he lamented Saul, saying, "The beauty of Israel is slain on the high places. How are the mighty fallen? There is nothing gap. But fleshed not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughter of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughter of the uncircumcised triumph." And he kept the mountain saying, "O Gilboa, O Gilboa, let it be there anew no rain, nor field of offering, nor dew, because the shield of the mighty is cast away." Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know why David, in his lamentation to Saul, why did he say, "There is nothing gap"? You know, David said, "There is nothing gap. Publish it not and this is about Ashkelon." Do you know why again? Can you tell?
I didn't get the question.
My dear. I said, when David lamented Saul, he said, "The beauty of Israel is slain on the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the city." One, they knew to go together, that King of Israel was killed. You know why? You remember David when he was a boy of 13, 14 years old? He's like Goliath of the sling. You know, Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. And David slanked Goliath in the valley of Elah and the stone sank in his feet. So that shepherd boy, David, he conquered the champion of Gath. See, the Goliath of Gath, the Gittite. So he was the champion of a town called Gath. So David in his lamentation said, "Tell it not in Gath, but which is not in the city of Ashkelon. Because I have conquered Gath through the champion called Goliath. Now I don't want the third new to go immediately to the city of Gath." Is it clear? So that is Gilboa Mountain. And what is it not in the city of Ashkelon? Because Ashkelon was the biggest city of the Philistines at that time. And the head of Saul was taken to the Philistines, and there the Philistines celebrated a big victory. Of the plain of Armageddon. This is the beginning of the plain of Megiddo, the plain of Armageddon. I mean, the final battle will take place on the plain of Armageddon. The length of the plain is 31 miles long and 18 miles wide. And, you know, the final battle of the world will be on this plain.
How long?
31 miles.
Huh?
31 miles long, 30 miles wide, and it is the great rich valley, and this is where the final battle, you know, according to the Bible, the final battle will take place on the plain of Ezron, Armageddon, or Jezreel. You know, it is known as Jezreel Valley, the Ezron Valley, and the plain of Armageddon. We are on the way to the ruins of the great city of Megiddo, which was built by King Solomon, and there will be a full explanation about this area.
I'm going to be
I want you to look here before we go up to the steps of Megiddo at the time of Tinsa. So the age of these steps, they are almost, I mean, they go back to 960 BC when Megiddo was built at this time. So take a look at these steps and let's go.
BC, and there is the inner gate of Megiddo, the town of Hyksos. You can see the first gate there and the inner gate there. And that is the gate of Megiddo, the town of King Solomon. 22 cities there were built on one side. The earliest was, 2400 BC, and the latest 400 BC. So there is the gate of Megiddo, the town of Hyksos, and over there you see the gate of Megiddo, the town of King Solomon. Bithynia to Egypt. Or from Egypt to Mesopotamia, they might need horses. So he built horses in Megiddo to house he built stables in Megiddo to house 500 horses. And there you can see the stable, small rooms to each horse.
This is a horse hotel.
Now, I want you to see what letter Megiddo of King Solomon. Look at that corner. That is the wall of Megiddo at the time of King Solomon. The Solomonic wall of Megiddo. And from here you can see the Mount Gilboa is there where Saul was killed. That is Mount Apule. The third mountain there is Mount Tabor or Mount Transfiguration where Jesus was transfigured. These are the Galilean mountains on the mountain of Nazareth. On the left there, the big huge mountain you see is Mount Carmel, the Carmelite range. And we are supposed to be standing above the wall of the city of Megiddo at the time of King Solomon. And there you can see what's left of the wall of Megiddo at the time of Solomon. So take the picture and then go this way. We go this way afterwards. Okay. And also the water supply of Megiddo is in the valley. So he must do something in order to save some trouble for the inhabitants of Megiddo. Not to go outside the wall of the city to get the water from the spring. How can they do it if the army and the invaders are in the valley and Megiddo is in sea? So he did a great way of engineering at the time. He diverted the water from the spring through the rock all the way to this, to the center of his town. So they went through the rock, chiseled. They have chiseled the rock. And they went all the way to the spring area. And then they dammed the spring area. They built a big dam there. And they forced the water of the spring, instead of going and to be wasted in the valley, to be driving all the way underground through the water channel up to this opening. Now, the people of Megiddo, they have to go just 20 steps all the way to the main opening of that water channel and get their water, because the water has been forced to come into the center of that town. So it was a great way of engineering at that time. Today, we are going to go through the water channel of Megiddo. There's no water anymore and no spring anymore. So we shall be going through that channel until we come to the site of the spring, and we have to go up 80 steps there. The bus will be waiting for us.
How far is
that? About 300 meters we'll be going.
Opening when we came in, and nobody can come down here at that time because the water was running So this channel all the way to the opening will be painful.
Oh, we don't have a 5 foot.
No, I tell you something. They were very active and smart people at that time. The same amount of the water comes through the channel, I mean, after the opening. You know, every 24 hours they take a certain amount of water. The level of the water goes down, but early in the morning the next day it dries up, and then they have to take the same amount of water into their houses.
So let's go now.
Jesus heard the son of the widow come there, and the son of Nain. Nain still to be seen as a small town there, and that is where Jesus healed the son of the widow from there. But you have to take picture of Nain, please don't come here. N-E-I-N, Nain. All set? We go.
Parking.
Yeah, parking.
The people and respect of their names where they come from. Magdalene who came from the town of Magdala. Are you getting a sign? Mary Magdalene came from the town of Magdala. The Bible refers to this town as Magdala, and the Bible refers to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, who came from Magdala, the little town of Magdala at that time. And right here, where they used to bring this sword to be sorted in the town of Magdala.
She was buried here too, wasn't she?
Who?
Mary Magdalene.
No.
You guys better get together.
No, my dear friend. Mary Magdalene was not buried here.
You don't get together with any guide, are you?
I think who was buried here? Only inhabitants of Magdala who lived at that time. No. If you may imagine about one of them, I must be sure that their grave is here to tell you yes, that she was buried here. So how can I tell you? There is no room for the tomb of Mary Magdalene. I said the Jesus made from the northern part of the Sea of Galilee the center of his preaching, teaching, healing. What do you know about the rules in the we did not receive any information so far, but we can see this excavation site from Magdala.